thank you for joining me in this last session where we're speaking on the way to give in the New Testament. I just believe you're going to be blessed by this and that you'll be turned into a giver. I want to just say this. Stinginess and Christianity doesn't flow together. The nature of God and being stingy doesn't flow together. God has made us in His image and in His likeness through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is a giver in His whole being. God the Father so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave us guidance in the Old Testament. He gave us His Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's His pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. God is a giver in His being. God cannot help Himself but to give. It's impossible for God to hold back. Even if we are sinners, He gives His Son. If you go and look at Genesis chapter 8, where Noah came out of the ark, God said, although man's heart is evil, I will not curse the ground. I know he's going to do sin again, but I will not curse the ground. And then in chapter 9, He still provides for him animals. And He says, this planet, seed time and harvest will be there. You can still be cared for. So God cares even for sinners. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. And if you are born of Him, that is what's in your genes. That's what's in your mind. That's what's in your thought pattern. That's what you are saturated with. That is your very nature. That is the light that permeates your mind and your body and your actions and everything that is in, around, and about you. Giving, just like God. Loving, just like God. Forgiving, just like God. Being merciful, just like God. So if we give out of a need to have, or we give to get, we actually give out of covetousness. Covetous means to covet, to want to have, or gaining. Now the Bible says gain is there for the Christian, but it actually says, don't worry about it, I've sorted it out. It's on me. We must realize that the ministration we have, the ministry we have, is the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of exchange. So when we think of finances, we should think of exchange. God exchanged His wealth for our poverty. And we became wealthy in Jesus Christ. He exchanged His health for our sickness. Our sickness came upon Him. And the whole thing was exchanged. And the Bible says God from His side has reconciled us unto Him. He has exchanged us with Him. But then He says, I pray you and beg with you, be ye now in your mind reconciled. And that's what we need to do financially as well. We need to realize that the wealth of God has come upon us because of Jesus Christ. We have to realize that the nature of God has come upon us. Just as what is impossible for God not to love people, so it is impossible for God not to be a giver. And in the same way, it's impossible for you not to be a giver. I believe that God wants the church to start to give out of generosity. He wants the church not to give out of necessity. He wants the church not to give out of fear. God loves a cheerful giver, not a fearful giver. So many times we use our giving because we are fearful that we will not have in the future. We want to make sure that God will give to us by our giving. I've got good news for you. God will surely give to you in the future because He is a giver. He cannot help Himself. Now that sounds rude and it sounds blunt, but that is just the simplest way in which I can bring it over strongly. I want you to know that God is a giver. If God is a giver, start to get your mind into who God made you to be. Be enough in the good news that you can realize that you're a giver. Start to know the love of God to the point that you feel love coming up in your heart. That you can feel love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been teaching us of everything that we have freely received in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what I believe God wants for us. That's what I believe God has given unto us. everything freely, finances freely, and that if we meditate upon that, that love will start to well up in our hearts and flow over, and it will manifest in the form of giving, forgiving, and whatsoever. And I think one of the great things is giving. I also believe that giving is a very powerful tool to persuade your heart. The Bible says that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. So if you want your heart in the things of God, put your treasure there. I've seen it so many times. If I just want to think of evangelism, if I want to think of television ministry, if I want to have my mind and my attention towards the things of God, I take money and I put it in the kingdom of God, because what the heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So take your money, put it in the kingdom of God, and you'll find your thoughts will automatically be more towards the kingdom. And you know, what's that guy doing in his ministry? You know, I've sponsored this evangelist, if I sponsored that pastor, that church building program, you will automatically want to ask, how's the project going? What is happening in the project? When you sponsor an evangelist, your heart will be for souls. Your heart will be about souls, the winning of the lost. You'll read books about it. It will just naturally come because you're putting your money towards that. That's the one thing. The next thing about giving, I believe giving is also an outflow of faith. If I rest my mind in the fact that God has given unto me, and I believe that the action of my faith is giving or buying, one of the two. And I believe if I really believe God is my source, I can go and buy something. Or I can give. And I believe the context now that I'm talking about is giving. So, as I would say to someone that is sick or someone in a wheelchair, when I pray for him, I would just say, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He doesn't feel anything. He doesn't know if he can walk. But by faith, he stands up and he starts to walk. In the same way it is with finances. When you hear the good news of the gospel, hear it to the point that you just feel faith happens to you. And then you don't look at your finances. And an act of your faith can be to give to some ministry. Hallelujah. We've been made to do that. Remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says that if you give, you must realize before you give that God's grace abounds over you anyway, and you're not going to become poor by giving. That's what he says. God's grace will supply to you that you will be sufficient in all things and in giving. So know that his grace is enough for you to give as well. So we give out of generosity, we give out of the love of God, we give out of the new nature God has given us. You know how difficult it is for a dog to stop to bark? It's impossible, man. When he hears something funny, I tell you, his nature's gonna take over. Now we've got these ground squirrels running around here on the farm, and I've got little Jack Russell. I tell you, it's impossible for that dog not to chase that Jack Russell. The other day, I just heard the dog barking, and I was looking, where's the dog, where's the dog? He was halfway up the tree chasing one of those squirrels. I can call him, I can do whatever I want. His nature took over because he's been made to do that. He's been bred to hunt. That's what he does. And the same with us. We've been bred by the nature of God to be givers and to walk in the nature of God. That's it. We've been made. I don't say God just made us just to give. I just said we've been made in the image of God. Hallelujah. It's natural for us. When we see somebody in need, when we see a ministry preaching the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we see the hand of God going out, reaching the nations, the thing that happens naturally to us, just like with a Jack Russell when he sees a squirrel, you without stop, you just jump into giving mode. That's the New Testament way. Now, that's not going to happen to you by deciding to do that. I've got good news for you. You're not going to decide to become a giver. You have to listen to the good news until your mind rests in that God meets your need always. And the moment your mind rests, you'll find the nature that's in you that's been suppressed by your fear of not having, jumping out and you giving God's way. Now, I just believe that there's a way that's been preached to us that even in our fear, using our fear, twisting our fear in a way that we can say, you can get rid of this fear of not having tomorrow by giving. And a lot of finances flow in the kingdom that way, but I don't believe that's God's way. God's way is generosity, not out of compulsion. Hallelujah. I want us to open the Bible in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. And I just want to just reinforce this by reading the scripture. It says, let's read from verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Now what He says is He laid down His life. If you receive the life that He's laid down, if you are mindful of the life that He has laid down, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to do exactly the same because you receive His nature. Hallelujah. Verse 17. But whosoever has this world's goods and see his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, when God gave His Son, when Jesus laid down His life, when we get a revelation of that, the same is going to happen in our lives. Now what He says is, how's the love of God going to dwell in our physical lives? How's it going to manifest if we don't have a physical outflow of doing something towards somebody? The Bible says, hereby will people know that you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. And here we see clearly that one of the outflows of love is when you see somebody in need, you give to him. If you see somebody in need and you close that bowel of compassion, that emotion that says, give to this man, if you close it, how is the love of God going to dwell in your life? How are people going to see it? And not just forget about people. How are you going to allow God to flow through you if you close your heart towards giving? You're a Christian. The nature you have is to give. Again, I want to say this. That I'm not saying this to tell you you must give. I want to tell you that is your nature. Start to meditate upon the new nature. Start to meditate upon what God has already given unto you. Now, tonight I was listening to a TV program, and this one guy said that his TV program is just going to expand to about every house in South Africa, and I don't know exactly how things are going to work, but when I saw that, it just jumped in my heart, I want to give my money to this guy. Now, I'm not scared to give it. I'm about to fly to Canada and Italy, but what's going to happen is, I don't look at that money that I need to go there. That's not part of the equation. In my heart, there's a bowel of compassion. How's God's love going to flow through me if I close that? I'm not allowed to close that because my nature doesn't allow me. When I saw that, it just jumped in my heart, and I'm going to give. Amen. Thank you, my God. That's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing that. Why? Because my nature says that's it. And I'm going to do that. You know how many times people here give and then they go and think about it, make their calculations, and they calculate on what they do have and not on the grace of God, and then they say, I cannot give. Forget, don't let your money dictate to you what to do. Let the grace of God dictate to you and make your calculation according to the grace of God. That's what 2 Corinthians clearly says. He says, when you give, don't give out of compulsion, but remember, it's God's grace will always supply sufficiently for you so that you can do the good thing that you feel in your heart. That's the way we give. We give out of love. We give out of love. Let's read that scripture again. Verse 17, but whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwell the love of God in him? Hallelujah. I also believe there's another way of giving that we can look at in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, some people might say this does not talk about giving, but I believe it does. It says here from verse 8. Now, let me read from verse 9. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, this is what I want to get to. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, how will they believe if they do not hear? How will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, people need to be sent in order to preach the gospel. Now, you don't send somebody to go and preach the gospel by saying, I send you, brother. That's not sending, that's saying something. Sending is when you've got a revelation that says, people will not believe if they do not hear, and they will not hear if somebody doesn't preach, and if somebody cannot leave what he's busy with to go and preach the gospel by me sending him, how will he ever go and how will people ever believe? I also believe out of that revelation we can, because we love the lost and we love the ministry of God, because of God's nature indwelling us, we can open our bowels of compassion and not shut it up. Now, and while I'm saying this, I just realized this. You don't have to open your bowels of compassion. It's open already if you've got the nature of God in you. The problem is we shouldn't shut it when we look at circumstances. That's it. So keep it open towards people sharing the good news all over the world. That's what the Bible says. Go and preach the gospel all over the world. That's one form of giving. I believe we can give to the poor. We can give to the widows. We can give to... And we can break this thing down. I can make another 5 sessions on this. But I want to do that. The foundation thing is have love for people. Have love. Have the love of God towards yourself first. To the point that it overflows towards people. And don't shut your bowels of compassion when giving comes into your mind. And so many times we want to go and pray about something before we give. You know, and I don't say we're not supposed to do this. We can go and do this. The one guy said to me, he knew that I was going on a trip where I had to preach to the lost. And he said to me, you know, I want to give, but I'm first going to pray about this. And I just saw that he felt a little bit forced, maybe out of condemnation. I didn't force him to do that. I just said to him, listen, we're going on a trip and whatever. And we spoke about the trip. And I didn't even think of finances when I spoke to him. Because most of my money was already paid. Most of the things were, the money was there already. And then he said to me, you know, Bertie, I want to give to you, but I'm first going to pray about this. And I just said to him, you know what, my brother? I want to just tell you this, and this is the context in which we must know who God is. And I say this so that we can know God's heart. I said to him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray because you are mindful of maybe a 500 or 1,000 rand that I must give or want to give towards this ministry. But I don't know if I should give it because I don't have that much money and you're a bit scared of that. You're going to ask somebody that didn't even worry about money, but he was willing to slaughter his son for the lost people that you are praying about to give 500 rand to. In this sense, and I know I'm speaking human, you're asking a fanatic that was willing to slaughter his son for somebody that's lost if you must give a couple of rand that will help to get that lost eventually to the kingdom. What do you think is he going to say? I don't think he will say, He will easily say no. But what he can say is he can tell you how much he meets your need, how much he loves you, how much he provides for you. And that's why I think it's important to pray, because you'll hear his word that will set your mind at rest so that you can give. Amen. So this thing of faith righteousness is not a license not to give. It is your right to give. It is your right to fearlessly give. Amen. So let's open our hearts to fearlessly give for the preaching of the gospel to the lost, to spread this good news unto as many people as possible. That is what the Word of God clearly says and clearly states. We are made in His image. Let's look at the grace of God. In the previous session we said that. Let's look at God's grace, His giving. Let's look at the grace that was even in the lives of the Macedonians, the poor people, and they by grace gave out of poverty. Then the nature of God just took over, and they could give above their human reasoning. Hallelujah. And the grace of God also met their needs. Amen. We forget the sowing and reaping thing. Let's get into the full provision of Jesus, and says, by His grace which is forever, even if I sow or not, even if I do something wrong or not, my needs are met because of Jesus. His nature indwells me, and therefore I give, because that's the nature. I've got a love for the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Let's quickly touch on 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope we've got enough time for chapter 9. Time for this, and just explain this quickly. I think we're going to make it. Let's read from verse 3. My answer to them that examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Listen to what he says. He says, you listen guys, I'm an apostle to you. The other guys like Peter and them, they get sponsored by people to go and preach the gospel. I'm an apostle unto you. Maybe, Peter was an apostle, and that's why people gave to him. I'm an apostle unto you. Am I and Barnabas the only people that cannot stop to work? I must work to get money so that I can preach to you. You know what Paul did? He went everywhere preaching and working because the people never gave anything to him. It was never Paul's desire to work all the time. He wanted to spend time in the Word and just minister to people. He preached in the day and worked at night. This guy must about never slept. Worked day and night to preach the gospel. And out of this he said, listen man, don't we have power to forbear working? We've got actually an authority to stop to work, and that you must give to us. Let's read from verse 7. Who goes to war at any time at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eats not the milk thereof? Say these things as a man, or doesn't the law say the same also? Now what's important here, and I wish I had some more time to explain this, but what he says nature, the normal work, everything, it works this way. We do something and you reap something off that. We give an input and then we live out of that. Even the law says that. So he says, it's not my human thing, the holy law says the same thing. Didn't tell them you must command the law, obey the law. That's what he said. He said that the law even says this, and then he stated that what he said is not wrong but right. Verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. It's very interesting. He didn't quote Malachi chapter 3 about the tithe. He quoted another scripture. If the tithe thing was so big, why didn't Paul quote it there? Verse 10. Or says he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. That it's written that he that plough should plough in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we should reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Now what he says is, if somebody ministers to you and gives to you the teaching, the word, and that blesses you, he can use a right to take up an offering and you can give towards him. Is it a great thing if I've helped you spiritually to reap your material things? That's what Paul says, and that's the whole context of that. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Paul says, listen man, nature says the thing. Nature says, he says, and the world system even says it. The wars. Who goes to war on his own charge? Nobody. Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat off that vineyard? The Bible also says that those who work by the things of the temple, they will live out of that. In the same way, he says, if you read on, and we don't have time for that now, if you read on, those who preach the gospel must live off the gospel. The way we live off the gospel is by preaching to you and you giving money to us. Forget it about sowing and reaping. Be gracious for the word you've received. It doesn't mean you must receive to any, give to any preacher. No, give to the guy that you eat of. You eat, maybe this is a blessing to you. If you want to give money to this ministry, you're welcome to give it. That's the biblical principle. You can do it that way. I don't say this out of commanding you, but I just say that's the way the gospel works. It's not a sin. Even when you go, if you tend to a flock, you expect to drink milk of that flock. In the same way, if I preach the gospel, if preachers preach the gospel, don't grill them because they take up an offering. No, how will they live if you don't give to them? That's the principle. There's nothing spooky about that. And I believe that's the way we give. Man, we've had a wonderful time spending in the time that we spend in the Word concerning giving and receiving. Thank you for listening to this. Listen to all the tapes. Remember, we are givers just like God. Give out of the new nature and don't use this as an occasion for the flesh, but use this to manifest the nature of God, to be fearless givers. We are fearless givers. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.